You guys who were here the last couple weeks, when Dan was here, what do you remember what he said about what an authentic man is? Remember what he said? The definition? Let's just hear him. What's an authentic man? Who is he? Anybody? He's a guy who rejects passivity. This is our working definition, by the way. He's a guy who rejects passivity. He accepts responsibility. What else?
Leads courageously.
And
expects the greater reward.
Let's say that a couple times. Authentic man rejects passivity, accepts responsibility, leads courageously, expects God's greater reward. Let's say it again, one more time. Rejects passivity, accepts responsibility, leads courageously, expects the greater reward, God's greater reward. And it was great to hear from Dan the last couple weeks. He's weathered a lot of things in his life, and he had some things to say to us about this. And I really enjoyed hearing from him. I think we have more to hear from him. I wish we could have him up here more. The first part of this journey that we've been on has been looking back. And Dan has said something about the manhood plan. If you haven't started that, I'd really encourage you guys to do that. And there's three parts to it. And right now, you should have been doing the first two parts, and now we're heading into the last part, looking ahead. So the manhood plan, page 92 in your book, and it explains that. So get them done. We're looking forward to a good time at Camp Andrews. This week is the first of two sessions on called a man and his wife. And I'm married 17 years, and I feel like I have a lot to learn still. And so as I'm speaking up here, it's not because I feel like I've arrived, because I really haven't. And actually, the longer I'm married, the more I realize that I need to know. And it was good for me to study this stuff, because I'm on a journey learning to know my wife and understand who she is. And I got a thick skull. And it takes a while sometimes for some things to sink in. As a married man, and this is for you single guys too that are here, but as a married man, how well you live with your wife will, in a lot of ways, determine success or failure, satisfaction or dissatisfaction in your life. And it comes hard. Men and women are different. Did you know that? And I want to just read an article here by Dave Barry. Some of you may have heard this before. But it's looking at some of the differences between a man and a woman. It's talking about Roger and Elaine as two people that are dating. Roger and Elaine had been seeing each other regularly, and then one evening as they were driving home after dating, a thought occurred to Elaine, and without really thinking, she says it out loud. "Roger, do you realize that as of today, we've been seeing each other for exactly 6 months?" Then there's silence in the car. To Elaine, it seems like a very loud silence. She thinks to herself, "Whew, I wonder if that bothered him, what I said. You know, maybe he's feeling confined by a relationship. Maybe he thinks I'm trying to push him into some kind of obligation he doesn't want or isn't sure of." And Roger's thinking, 6 months? And Lane is thinking, "Hey, I'm not so sure I want this kind of relationship either. Sometimes I wish I had a little more space so I'd have time to think about whether I really want to keep going the way we are. Moving steadily towards, where are we going? And are we just going to keep seeing each other at this level of intimacy? Are we headed towards marriage, towards children, towards life together? Am I ready for this level of commitment? Do I even want this, to know this person? And Roger's thinking, 6 months. Let's see. 6 months ago, February, when we started going out, which was right after I had the car at the dealer's, which means, let me check that odometer. Whoa! I'm way overdue for an oil change. And Elaine is thinking, he's upset. I can see it on his face. Maybe he sensed even before I sensed it that I was feeling some reservation. Yet, I bet that's it. That's why he's so reluctant to say anything right now about his feelings. He's afraid of being rejected. And Roger's thinking, and I'm going to have to have them look at that transmission again. I don't care what that mechanic said. It's still not shifting right. And Elaine is thinking, see, he's angry. And I don't blame him. I'd be angry too. I feel so guilty putting him through this because I can't help the way I feel. I'm just not sure. And Roger's thinking, they'll probably say it's only a 90-day warranty. And Elaine's thinking, maybe I'm just too idealistic, waiting for a knight to come riding up on his horse. Roger? Elaine says aloud. What? Says Roger, startled. Please don't torture yourself like this, she says, her eyes brimming with tears. Maybe I should never have. Oh, God, I feel so. What? Roger says. I'm such a fool, Elaine sobs. I mean, I know there's no knight. I really know that. It's silly. There's no knight. There's no horse. There's no horse, says Roger. You think I'm a fool, don't you, Elaine says. No, says Roger, glad to finally know the right answer. It's just that I need some time, Elaine says. There's a 15-second pause while Roger, thinking as fast as he can, tries to come up with a safe response. Finally, he comes up with one he thinks might work. Yes, he says. Elaine deeply moves, touches his hand. Oh, Roger, do you really feel that way? She says. What way? Says Roger. That way about time, says Elaine. Oh, says Roger. Yes. Elaine turns to face him, gazes deeply into his eyes, causing him to become very nervous about what she might say next. Thank you, Roger, she says. Thank you, says Roger. Then he takes her home, and she lies on her bed, a conflicted, tortured soul, and weeps until dawn. Whereas when Roger gets back to his place, he opens a bag of Doritos, turns on the TV, and immediately begins to get deeply involved in a rerun of the tennis match between two Czechoslovakians he's never heard of. The next day, Elaine will call her closest friend, or perhaps two of them, and they'll talk about the situation for 6 straight hours. In painstaking detail, they'll analyze everything she said and everything he said, going over it time and time again, exploring every word, every expression, every gesture for nuances of meaning, considering every possible ramification. Then they'll continue to discuss the subject off and on for weeks. Meanwhile, Roger, while playing racquetball one day with a mutual friend of his and Elaine's, will pause just before his serve and say, Norm, did Elaine ever have a horse? We laugh at some of this difference, but what's going on inside a man and a woman is like miles apart. And Dave Barry, he does pretty good kind of catching that. And how you approach the differences in your wife or in a woman that you're close to will affect everything. How you approach the difference, how you deal with the difference. And that's a task for us men, to deal well with the differences that are between us. How you master that challenge will affect everything. And about 2,000 years ago, there was a man who spent some time with Jesus. And this is what he says. Peter. In the same way you husbands must live with your wives, with a proper understanding that they are more delicate than you. Treat them with respect, because they also will receive together with you God's gift of life. Do this so that nothing will interfere with your prayers. A message from an apostle that wasn't small. And he starts out in another version that says, live with your wife in an understanding way. And I think that's saying, basically Peter's saying, don't just guess at it. As you are a man, don't just guess at how to understand your wife. How many of you guys, and I know I was like this, when I got married, I figured, I had some sisters, I had a mom, and I could kind of figure this marriage thing out. And so I figured we'd get married, and we did some premarital and stuff, but I figured I could just wing it, basically, and I could be okay.